It's funny how things happen. I said at the very beginning, in my job as a news reporter, I have told a lot of stories. But for many reasons, some we haven't even discussed yet, Alex's story has always stood out. When I first began kicking around the idea of a podcast, I brainstormed about who I'd interview, wondered if I could get to Mark and Tiny, and even went back and forth with myself about the emotional damage I might inflict by asking the Johnson family to reopen all the old wounds. After getting the blessing from Alex's family, I was committed. But where do I begin? It was almost as soon as I put that question out into the universe, a name I had never heard found me on Facebook. And what a story she had to tell. Casey Johnson was right. You just can't make this stuff up. I'm Kristen Flum, and this is Taking Alex.
Fran, how do you say your last name? It's a lot of letters.
It's like Taylor.
Right.
And then it's my own name. And in the Netherlands, it's Van der Heijden. Yeah, H-E-I-J-D-E-N.
Van der Heijden.
Yes.
Fran Taylor Van der Heijden.
Taylor is good too.
Mark Taylor told me in a phone call once he's got it pretty good in prison. He eats well, works out often, and has plenty of entertainment options available to him. Even behind thick concrete walls, he has the ability to reach anyone he wishes on the phone or through the prison's email system. Even someone on the other side of the world.
His calls start around 2:30 my time in PM. And then the last time he calls is in the AM. So normally I go to bed like a tree. And then sometimes he calls back at 4 o'clock to wish me a good night. But yeah, my life is kind of a mess because of that.
Yeah, I bet.
Fran Van der Heijden lives nearly 4,200 miles away from the Kentucky prison housing her husband, Mark Taylor. November 5th of 2020, the couple celebrated their first wedding anniversary. They have never stayed the night with each other, never shared a kiss without a guard watching. The two don't even have a photo together. She has one life as a registered nurse and chef in the Netherlands. He has another, kept in the confines of Little Sandy Correctional Complex in rural eastern Kentucky.
I guess you could say that, like, the last couple of years of your life have been a whirlwind, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Their story starts in mid-2018, about 2 years after Mark was convicted of Alex Johnson's murder.
Well, I don't even know where to start. Let's see. So just take me back. You were explaining in our messages back and forth that you met Mark through his cousin. How did you even meet his cousin? I mean, take me all the way back to this.
Okay. I spent like a big time of my youth with my parents like in Florida. And Mark's cousins, well, Mark is from Florida too, but Mark's cousins are also from Florida. So I met her like long time ago and we still connected, like we still talked. And then like 3 years ago or something, I had a really tough time. I was in a bad relationship. I wanted to have kids. He didn't want to have kids. I was not in a really good place. I was hiding in my own relationship and said, well, maybe it's a good thing if you like talk to someone that you don't know and it's like far out of reach. So my cousin is in prison. Do you like to write him? I said, yeah, well, okay, but I don't want to know what he did or anything. And she said, no, I'm not going to tell you. And just write him a message and like see how it goes.
She created a JPay prison email account and added Mark as a recipient before quickly deleting him after questioning what in the world she was getting into. But apparently it was too late. Mark had already seen that someone was trying to reach out to him, and he had questions of his own.
So you didn't know anything about his case or him or anything.
No.
You just started writing. Oh, okay, so what did his first message say?
Oh, that was a very big one. Because Mia didn't tell him that I was going to write him. So he was not expecting someone from overseas. And he just sent me a message like, who are you? What do you want from me? So, yeah, then I explained to him like, okay, I know your cousin. Because at that point, he was also like really down. He had a girlfriend when he was in prison, and she showed up pregnant at the visit. Also not in a really good place. So I think we kind of met each other. And then I sent him a message back, because then I really felt the need to like send anything back, because I thought it's rude if you like, if he sends something. Yeah, well, that was the first, I think we already connected after the second day. It's crazy.
So yeah. You just began writing back and forth.
Yeah, we were emailing. Like in the beginning, it was one a day. And Mark already started like writing quite big messages, like very long ones, because he had a job in the library.
What did she have to lose? She thought. If she grew uninterested, she could just stop writing. So she kept up the conversation. It grew deeper, more personal, but not inquisitive about his case.
You still at this point are in the dark about why he's there, correct?
Yeah. I didn't find out like, well, I never asked him in the beginning, because I thought I want to know him first, and it doesn't matter. Like everyone makes mistakes. I'm a very, like in the Netherlands, the law system, that's really different. Like the longest sentence that we have is 26 years. We believe in rehabilitation. I thought, okay, whatever he did, like, I don't want to know right now, because I want to know the person behind it first. So that was more important to me.
The messages increased to a handful a day. Fran was conflicted, wanting to share her happiness with her friends and family, but she feared what they might think.
It's not something that you can be so proud of. Yeah, I have a pen pal, like, in prison across the ocean.
What was it that attracted you to him?
I don't know, like he is so smart, like he is really smart. I'm a tough one, like I can handle my own life. I don't need a man. I want to be with a man because I want to, but I don't need to have a really good life. And I don't know, but his intelligence, that was like one of the first things that like was getting into me. And he is like a really big believer in old romance. Like he has his uncle and his aunt, they are married for I don't know how long, but they are his biggest example. And it just grew into like a very good friendship. Like he always tells me, like, friend, we're married, but you're my best friend. Like we talk about everything. Like if I have a bad day, I don't even need to tell him that I'm having a bad day, because he already knows when I'm picking up the phone. Like the connection is so, yeah, it grew so strong.
Months went by with Fran still in the dark about why this man she was corresponding with was locked up. Finally, it came up in a conversation that Mark was preparing for an interview with a Lexington TV reporter.
I never Googled his name. I always just talked to him. And I was believing, like, if he was ready, he will tell me, like, myself. So at some point he said, like, you never ask me. So I'm having a big thing going on. Like I'm getting ready for an interview. And he said, I am going to shoot you the link where you can look it up. And that will tell you everything that you need to know. And if you have questions, I will be here to answer them for you.
Prosecutors say Robert Mark Taylor killed Alex Johnson over drugs and money.
And I was kind of shocked in the beginning, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when he sent you that link and you finally got a chance to read it all and have access to all of it, what were your thoughts?
Oh my God, what did I got myself into? And I already knew at that point, I was already so in love. And I know that the feeling was mutual. Yeah, of course, I was shocked. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to tell my parents this? Like, they have a 30. I was 30 by then. Like, they have a 30-year-old daughter. And she's coming home. Yeah, I'm dating an inmate. And yeah, he is in for murder.
If you thought it would faze her, it didn't. She didn't back off. She didn't cut ties. Instead, she started going through the checklist for scheduling a visit.
Well, they keep denying my access to prison. The previous prison that he was into, like, they told me that they couldn't screen me at Interpol. They couldn't do a background check. And they denied me, like, 6 times.
Her fight paid off in March of 2019 when she was notified that she'd been cleared.
2 weeks later, I got approved finally on the visitors list. And I think 5 days later, I was on a plane to Lexington all by myself.
So March of 19, you finally make your first trip to Kentucky.
Yeah.
To meet Mark in person.
Yes. 3 days in a row, 8 hours a day.
Wait, what? I'll be the first to admit, I'm not sure how jail visitation works, but I was fairly certain that most people were allowed minutes, maybe an hour, but days? I learned visitors like Fran were an exception since they'd traveled across an ocean to get there.
You spent that much time at the prison?
Yes.
8 hours a day?
Because I'm from abroad. They let you in at 8 in the morning and I needed to leave like somewhere between 3 and 4 in the p.m.
At the time of their first meeting, Mark was at Eastern Kentucky Correctional Complex in an itty-bitty Kentucky town.
And I was nervous, and he was nervous too.
What was that like? What was that moment like when you walked in
crazy.
And saw him?
Well, I need to tell you, like, I've been to the United States, like, a lot of times. Like, every year I travel by myself to Vegas. Like I said, like 6 times a year, we went to Florida when I was younger. So I was always like, I'm familiar with the country. But then I didn't know anyone over there, and I didn't know what I could expect. I didn't know that West Liberty was no man's land. Like, there's literally nothing. So Lexington, yeah, that was really nice. I really enjoy Lexington. But then I made the drive to West Liberty, and I was, oh my God, where am I? And I was so bored, and it was raining, and it was like awful. And then you need to step into an environment that you are completely not aware of. Like, I'm not familiar with prisons. Like, I didn't do anything wrong in my whole life. I never had problems with police. I'm a perfect citizen. And the first thing that I was like realizing, they treat you as a prisoner too. Oh my God, I didn't expect that. Yeah.
So how were you able to spend those 8 hours?
Well, you have like a visitation room. And it just looks like a cafeteria, or like when you have a high school, like the place where you have food and everything with vending machines. Well, you have like tables in rows, and then you sit like across each other with a low table like between, and you can give one kiss and one hug when you come and when you go. Well, that's it. We talked, and we are really good at talking.
It was the first time the two could cut loose. Well, loose lips, at least. The in-person visits are monitored from a distance. There was no one listening in, which was different from the prison phone calls they were used to.
I was going there, and I thought, okay, I'm going to end it, or I'm going to continue it, and then I'm going for it, like, full in. Like, then there's no way back. Then I'm going to tell everyone. So that's what happened. So the moment he walked in, it was like fireworks. Yeah.
Was there anything that made you pull back at all? Or were you, as you said, just all in at that point?
Like, after 5 minutes, I already knew, like, this guy is going to cause trouble.
After that, every 6 weeks, Fran flew to Kentucky. She was there in April, then for their birthdays in May and June, scattered visits throughout the fall, and when she could break away from her job in the restaurant industry near the holidays. Then COVID hit. That ruined everything for the long-distance couple. Fran and Mark haven't seen each other since her last visit in February of 2020.
So tell me about the proposal. How did that go?
Well, that was really, there was nothing spectacular. I already saw that he was like super nervous at the visit. And at some point we had a really good talk, and then he got tears in his eyes. And he asked me like, would you do the honor and marry me? I said, well, you need to go and sit down on your knee. And he said, the guard don't let me. He said, I already asked when I walked in. And he said, they don't let me go on my knee. I said, well, then it's a no. Yeah. Well, I said, no, definitely. Yeah, definitely gonna marry you.
Just like regular couples, there's a process for that. The biggest difference, Mark and Fran had to get permission. First from a chaplain, then the warden. She had to acknowledge his crimes and his sentence, give statements about why she was pursuing this, and lay to rest any concerns this union was for nefarious reasons. A week later, they had their approval and a date, November 5th, 2019.
And I didn't even tell my parents that I was into a serious relationship with Mark already by then. And I had a new home, so my dad was here painting my walls, and I was so nervous to tell him, like, Dad, I'm going to get married next week. And I expected him to be, because he's a difficult man, like, very old-fashioned and, like, yeah, well, not like this. And he was like, I'm really happy for you, and if you think that makes you happy, like, I'm all in.
So tell me what a prison wedding is like. So this was November 5th that it happened. I cannot imagine what that day was like for you.
Well, nothing like your wedding.
Mark and Fran were allowed two witnesses. They got around that limit by having Mark's cousin ordained to officiate the wedding. That allowed him in. Mark's uncle also drove in for the ceremony, and Mark's best friend in prison served as best man.
I had a dress, but not a wedding dress. You need to follow like the prison guidelines, like no see-through, nothing really form-fitting. I needed to have sleeves, no lace, no rips, like all of that funny stuff. So I ended up like in a Calvin Klein dress, and it was nice. I bought it together with his cousin.
It was unconventional in ways I can't even begin to explain. But Fran tried to hold on to some tradition. Her friends threw together a quick bachelorette party in her hometown on Wednesday before she hopped on a plane bound for Kentucky on Thursday. That trip, she flew from the Netherlands to Atlanta, where she met Mark's uncle and made the drive to West Liberty, Kentucky. And early on the morning of November 5th, she had her hair and makeup done and checked in at EKCC.
Usually you're not able to hold hands or anything, but they allowed everything, really. And he was standing with his arm around me, and it was the first thing that was so new and so awkward, and he was like squeezing my hand. He was scared, like, and I was like so relaxed. I was not nervous at all, and he was like really shaking, and he said, I'm never gonna get married again. I said, no, you better not. Yeah, and I was really prepared. I wrote down all my vows and everything, and Mark did everything out of his head. He said, I'm not gonna do this on the paper. Like, I'm gonna tell you how I feel. And so, yeah, that was really nice.
Fran brought the rings she'd paid for, simple tungsten wedding bands that the prison said had to cost less than $30 so it wouldn't become a problem on the yard.
Yeah, then he needed to put the ring on my finger, and I needed to do that with him, but his hands were shaking, and I said, like, you really need to stop shaking. Like, I cannot put the ring on your finger like this.
It was that bad? I never
saw him that nervous. Like, I literally have blue fingers because he squeezed me that hard, because his hands are twice my hands. Like, he was crushing my bones, like, all the time. Like, I was, Mark, you're hurting me.
And that was it. A quick kiss to seal the deal, but no pictures. All she got was a memory.
So probably not at all what you ever envisioned, but happy you did it.
Yeah, I never missed the most beautiful day of my life still. It's different, but I always have something to tell people. Like, I'm always friend with the greatest stories. Well, here she is again.
It's been a lonely life since. She can't visit. Coronavirus outbreaks at the prison have even crippled his phone call opportunities. Because of lockdowns, Fran's lucky if she gets 15 minutes with him on the phone every 2 to 3 days. She's got only one video that she says gets her through the quiet days.
I just want to tell you I love you. You're the most amazing woman in the world, Franny. I love you death, I love you death, I love you death. Thank you so much for being my wife. Giving me the honor.
So I think the last I looked, his release date, if everything stays the same, is not till 2064, right?
Yeah, I believe so. 49 years in total, I think.
But you've always wanted kids. So how does that happen?
Yeah, well, we are writing the warden. We would like to see if there's like a possibility if he can donate to an IVF clinic in Lexington so I can get an IVF baby. We still hope like he's getting out.
Have you ever straight up asked Mark, did you kill Alex?
Yes, multiple times.
Because I think as a wife.
And there was never in a conversation on the phone because I wanted to look him in the eyes when I was asking him that. And then a day before the wedding, he told me the whole story from the first minute until the moment that the police came for him in Texas. You know, I was not there. I was not there. So I cannot guarantee 100% like this has happened, this has happened. I know what my husband told me. I know it makes all sense. He really, the moment that he told me like the whole story, I think it took like 4 hours or something. And of course, like he asked me, like, what did you do? Like, what is your opinion? I said, well, I don't know. Like, I was never in a position like that. Like, I really don't know like how I would handle it.
Fran says she's told her husband he should have gone to the police, but there's no going back.
I don't know. I was not there. I have to believe my husband, and it's not that I'm like a complete stupid girl. Like, he is a good guy. Like, he is a really good guy, and I don't think he is able to kill his best friend because that's what he was. When he told me the whole story, I literally told him, Mark, if you did it, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I already made the decision to be with you. And there were only 3 people there, and I think only those 3 people know what happened. Yeah, I believe my husband is telling the truth. Otherwise, I would never do everything that I am doing to get him out. Yeah. Because if he is a killer, it's okay that I married him. I can still be married with a guy in prison. But then I don't feel safe to let him go out, especially not into my country.
What you just said, let me just make sure I'm understanding correctly. If he would come to you and say, I did it, and have a moment of just full disclosure, would that change things for you? And what did you mean by letting him back in your country, knowing?
Like, if I know, if he is telling me this, then our marriage will be okay, but then he needs to stay in prison. And I don't want to invite him in my country if I know that he is being a killer, because then I still have a relationship with him, but then it's safer for everyone to keep him in prison.
I guess that's my last question to you is, if this doesn't play out the way Mark wants to and he has to stay put until 2064, are you along for that ride the whole time?
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. No. No. Of course, then our lives will be different than we picture it. But he will always be a part of my life. I will always be his wife. Then I need to move to the United States to live closer, to visit him. But I will be always there for him.
Next time on Taking Alex.
New at 11, the Courier-Journal reports a Lexington man convicted of murder was almost pardoned.
And I just couldn't believe what I read, that Bevin had written up a pardon with no knowledge of the case whatsoever.
That just terrified me. That is just the worst possible news I could hear. And thank God, I'm sure there was divine intervention there.